Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Glad you're here. Welcome to our kitchen. We're in our kitchen, and a lot of things go on in a kitchen, not just cooking, but a lot of fellowship. And you think about a kitchen is where you make things and put food together. A lot of conversation goes on in the kitchen, probably your house too. So tonight we're broadcasting from inside our kitchen, and hope one day you get to come over and be here with us in person. It'd be nice to have a meal with you together. I just want to say hello to everybody. I saw Kelly there first. Hi, Kelly. I'm looking on the Facebook screen at the same time that I'm trying to look at you, and just saying hello to people. Hey, John Pittman. Hi there. Good to see you. And Lana. Hi, Lana. Good to see you. And Patrick. Hi. Good to see you, Patrick. And, of course, John. Hi, John. And Gary Bowling. Wonderful. John, hopefully you got video up right now. Hope so. Lisa, hey, good to see you. Joey, always good to see all of you. While folks are checking in, let me bring you up to speed a little bit about what's going on. You know, now Sunday, don't forget, and Jenny's sending out notices that Sunday, we're not going to be in the church building yet, but we are going to go ahead and proceed to start with our new time. Instead of 10:30, we'll start broadcasting at 10 o'clock. So be sure you join us at 10 o'clock instead of 10:30. You'll miss half of what's going on there. So this Sunday, until the Lord decides to change it some other way, service begins at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. We are not in the church building yet. I'm still trying to find out details. It's not very clear about how we can meet yet and how we're going to proceed to do that. We're going to be very strategic. I want you to watch your email closely. Jenny has sent out or is sending out a survey, and we really need this information back from you. There's about 10 questions on there, and we ask you to fill these questions out, and that will give us vital information, help us to know the timing of when and anything we need to do to help you feel more secure about coming back into the building and the church service. I am hoping that it's going to be in May, and my heart is certainly ready to go back, and I know yours is too. So be sure to fill out this questionnaire. Look for it in your email. Send it back in to us. 10 questions, take you about 10 minutes, if that long, and give us some vital information there, okay? I also want to say thank you for your faithfulness. You know, I know watching online is not the same as going to church anymore than, you know, if you go to a ball game and you're in the stadium, the excitement is extra special because you're there. Watching it on TV, there's a lot of distractions. The phone may ring. Cat or dog may do something. People come in and out. And I just appreciate you being faithful and showing up Wednesday nights, too, and being faithful and Sunday morning and staying with us. And so when we do these broadcasts, we are a church. The church is not shut down. The church is still very much active. You are the church. And you showing up encourages my heart greatly. When I look over here and I see your names and I see your comments, it greatly blesses Pam and I. And thank you for that. I just want to say thank you and appreciate that very much. We have a song recorded for you tonight. I want you to join in and worship with us, okay? So let's do that right now. Let's go into this song.
Survey the
hope you enjoyed that. And the message in that is awesome, isn't it? We never get away from the cross. That's the centerpiece of our history, the centerpiece of why we're here, centerpiece of our life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all about Him. It's not about us. Hey, I'm excited to want to share with you tonight something the Lord just spoke into my heart yesterday morning. I've been reading through the book of Acts, and I was in Acts chapter 5. And I was reading about something, and then later on that day, when I read the Bible, I'm not always reading to get a sermon. I'm reading to feed my soul. And so a lot of times I read, I don't have a lot of inspiration when I'm starting, but then I read until I get something. It's like fishing, you know. You keep the line out there until you get a tug. And I got a little tug yesterday when I was in Acts chapter 5, and I wasn't even planning on sharing this tonight with you. I was going to kind of review the message from Sunday, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to share this with you. What's fresh to me will be fresh to you as well. And so anyway, so as I'm reading Acts chapter 5, I realize, you know, the context of what I'm telling you is after Pentecost. Pentecost has happened. Jesus is resurrected. And Jesus has ascended and so forth. The church is growing tremendously in the book of Acts. 3,000 people were saved in one day. Lots of miracles, lots of excitement, a lot of things going on. People were preaching out in the streets and in the temple daily. They were out there preaching the word. And this, you know, when you're excited about the things of God or you have revival going on in your life, not everybody's going to be excited for you. Can I get an amen about that? And the Jews in Jerusalem were a little bit ticked off by the fact that this new upstart church, it wasn't called a church, they were called followers of the way, the followers of Jesus, that the Jews were very suspicious. Of course, they crucified Jesus. They didn't believe that he was the Son of God and it's God in the flesh. But now his followers are still there. They're in Jerusalem. It's causing some problems with the religious establishment. And the church, the real church, is experiencing revival and the religious people are upset about it. So as the church is going, the Jewish people there in town are in charge, of course, of Jerusalem, and they're in charge of the civil matters over the Jewish people and the religious matters. And some of the Jews were hopeful that this Jesus cult, this thing known as the Way, would just quickly fade away now that the leader had, you know, passed on and the rumors were that he rose from the dead and that he ascended into heaven and was seen by over 500 people. But they were hoping all this stuff would fade away. And so, but it didn't. In fact, things were increasing in Jerusalem. So the apostles, the 12 apostles, were there in Jerusalem at this particular time. And the high priest, who was very jealous of the apostles, had them arrested, and he had them put in jail, all 12 of them, or 11 of them, until Matthias was chosen to replace Judas. So they're in prison and in Jerusalem. And the next day, they're brought before the high priest and a group of people, 71 men, called the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the group of Jewish, the religious establishment, but they also were over civil matters. If you had a civil matter, you would go to the Sanhedrin. They would decide for you what to do. And they interpreted the law or the scriptures. And so the 12 apostles come before the Sanhedrin, the 71 men there. And the high priest is really, he's already got an agenda. He is so angry at these guys that he commands them. He tells them, you're going to stop this preaching in Jesus' name. You're going to quit talking about this Jesus guy. We don't want to hear any more about it. We don't want you spreading any more of this stuff in our city. You're going to stop as of right now. Do you understand? And so this is pretty serious stuff. So they put him in prison. They're back in prison. And in prison, after being charged with don't go around preaching this gospel, this Jesus stuff anymore, I want to read to you a scripture. Let's see, I'll put it up on the screen for you right here. Acts chapter 5. But during the night, as an angel, it should be an angel of the Lord, opened the prison doors and led them out and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And having heard this, they entered the temple and they sat down and talked. Now, an angel of the Lord appears in the jail, sets them free, and says, get back out there and do what you were doing. You were telling people about Jesus. You're preaching the gospel. Now get back out there and go do it again. And they did. And the next morning, the high priest hears that these guys are out of prison. And they, of course, they question the guards. They want to know, how did they get out? And the guards didn't have any idea. And so the high priest has these 12 apostles brought back in to appear before him. And in chapter 5 of Acts, verse 27, let me read it to you. It says, when they brought them in, they stood before the Sanhedrin, and the high priest questioned them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? Yet now you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood on us. And Peter and the other apostles answered, we must obey God rather than man. In other words, God has told us to do this, and we are going to obey God rather than you. Well, you can imagine the kind of response he's getting back from the high priest. And so if you read on in the next couple of verses, they were so bold, they began to actually share the gospel with the high priest and the Sanhedrin. This is how bold they were. They were sharing the gospel. They were saying, this Jesus whom you crucified, this Jesus whom you guys said was a blasphemer, God is, he died on the cross for our sins, for the forgiveness of our sins, and he's raised again. I mean, so they're preaching the gospel to these guys, and these guys are not happy about it, you can imagine. And so then things actually get worse for the apostles at that particular moment. And in verse 33, I'm going to put this on the screen for you. Well, no, not that one. I'm sorry. Let's go back. I'm going to read verse 33 for you out of Acts chapter 5. It says, now when the Sanhedrin, the high priest, when they heard these things the apostles were saying, they were cut to the heart. And they took counsel to kill them. Now that's the epitome of religious pride, to think that you have the power from God to kill people. And here's the religious establishment. They took counsel among themselves. We've got to get rid of these guys. They don't just deserve to go to prison. They need to die. And so you see how serious this was. But there was a Pharisee, part of a Pharisee by the name of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was part of the Sanhedrin. And Gamaliel had great wisdom. And so when I was reading this the other day, his wisdom leapt off the page into my heart and into my face. And this is why I'm sharing this with you. So hang with me, please. Gamaliel says something to calm everybody down. And he was very well respected. He was very calm. And he's trying to calm everybody down. And he reminds them. He says, now listen, fellas. And I'm paraphrasing this. He says, listen, we've been through this kind of thing before. We've seen people come into town. They get a big following of people to follow them. They start a big movement. That leader dies. In just a little bit of time after that, all this commotion fades away and things go back to normal. We've been there. He mentions two incidences. And so he's trying to calm everybody down so they don't go out and kill the apostles. Now, he says something that I want to put up on the screen. This is the wisdom here that spoke to my heart, and I hope will speak to you. He says this word. He says, if this intention or activity is of men, it'll come to nothing. Mm-hmm. But if it's from God, you're not going to be able to overthrow them. Unless, perhaps, you'll be found even fighting against God. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a powerful word. And that's the word we need to heed to. His wisdom is the wisdom of God. And this is recorded here for us to see. And they all calmed down after hearing him, and they felt like he talked some sense into them. And basically he says, look, if this is an activity or a work of God, you're not going to be able to stop it. Mm-hmm. But if it's not God, it'll fade with time, and in 6 months, a year from now, we won't even be talking about this anymore. But if it is of God, you could be fighting against a work of God. Time will reveal a lot of things, not everything, but time will reveal a lot of things. I remember when we started Grace Tabernacle 17 years ago, downtown Leesburg, there were a few churches in the area, one in particular, that was very jealous of us. Well, we did get a few people that were disgruntled with their church. They came over to our church.
Never asked.
And we didn't go after them, but they came over there. And then next thing you know, rumors were being spread from leadership in that church that we were a cult. And that 6 months from now, they won't be even in existence anymore. Well, 6 months went by, 17 years went by, and we're still here. And I think time is a good revealer of many things. If something is of God, it will last, mm-hmm. no matter what comes against it. Amen. If something is not of God, it'll fade. Just a matter of time, it'll fade away. It's COVID-19. Look what's going on. People are saying churches are shutting down all over the world. Some churches, it's possible, may not start up again. Mm. I don't know. This may be the end of some of them. It's not the end of us. But maybe some churches need to shut down. I'm not saying that I know any. I don't know that. But if it's of God, COVID-19 cannot shut it down. Are you with me? If it's of God, you can't shut it down. Man can't shut it down. Satan can't shut it down. If it's a work of God, it can't be shut down.
The gates of hell will not prevail.
The gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's right, Pam. That's right. So this is a great wisdom of Gamaliel, and then of course it proved to be true, because that church is us in Acts. That was our church, the church's birth, and here we are today, 2,000 years later. It was a work of God. Now, the other day when I read this scripture, I had to do some business over here at this side of town, and in the morning, so I'm driving over here, and I'm driving past a church where I was formerly pastor. We were pastoring that church there for almost 10 years. And as I drove past that, I believe the Holy Spirit nudged me, and he reminded me of what I just read that morning. If something is of God, you're not going to be able to stop it. It's going to happen. And let me try to explain to you. Near the end of our time there in that church, we had a real revival breakout there in that church, and it was unlike anything I have even yet to witness. In about 3.5 weeks of pure revival, and as a result of that, the next couple of years, a great amount of change happened in the church. The debt was all completely gone. The church increased. A lot of people got saved, baptized, a lot of things happening in the church. When revival comes to a church, change happens, not just for that moment, but lasting change thereafter, because God is wanting to make some changes in his church, and he feels like he has the right to do that. And so a lot of changes were taking place there at that particular time. And so that's what happened when God comes into a church. Changes happen. There are good things that happen and good things that God wants to happen. And one of the things I had in my heart there is that as pastor of that church for the last couple of years while I was there, I was trying to convince the leadership and the congregation that we needed to change our name, because our name had, it was a denominational church, and it had the name of the denomination in the name of the church out there on the building. And I felt like that was detrimental because it limited our market, so to speak, of getting people. See, people see a certain denominational label on the church, and if they've had a bad experience with that denomination, they automatically won't go to this church, even though it's a different church. So I was a young pastor wanting our church to grow, and everybody wanted our church to grow. So I suggested to our leadership and to our people, I said, I think we need to change our name. I know we're a denominational church, we're a different kind, but I believe we need to take the denominational name off of the label of the church. We'll still be a denominational church, but we need to take the name off of it out there, so we'll draw all kinds of folks into the congregation to hear the gospel. Well, that didn't go over very well, and I really wanted that to happen. I believe that would have been healthy for the church and so forth. And then, you know, a few months later, there was a big uprising in the church, and the church split apart, and God told us to resign, walk away. And we did, and you know all that story. And there's a point for me to try to tell you this. The other day when I drove past the church, I noticed what I'd seen before, but this is where the Holy Spirit nudged me with what I read to you today. He nudged me. If God wants to do something, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it did. And if you drive by that church today, they have a nice new sign out there. And the sign says such and such community church. And that's what I wanted. I wanted our church name to be something like Fruitland Park Community Church. Mm-hmm. Still a denomination, but it didn't have it out there on the billboard. And so I noticed that again, I'd seen it before, the Holy Spirit took me back to what I just read to you. If Gamaliel's wisdom was, if this intention or activity is of men, it's going to fade to nothing.
No, not at all. Yeah.
But if it's from God, you're not going to be able to overthrow it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we left that church, it wasn't a pretty scene, and it was a difficult time. And a few months later, Terry and I started Grace Tabernacle by the grace of God, God's leading. And that church, for the next 5 years, they struggled. Different pastors come and gone, and eventually it got so bad down to hardly anybody there that they turned that church property over to another church that was just starting that needed a church building. The church is presently there today, and it's a good church. And lo and behold, they put their name on it, but without the denominational label. They're still a denominational church, but they didn't have that label out there. Now, I said all that to say this. I believe that that was God's idea, not my idea. I believe that was God's intention, that he wanted that church to take the label off the outside to be more inviting to bring people in to hear the gospel of Jesus. I believe that's what God wanted. I believe God spoke to me years ago to do that, 20 years ago now, and people resisted that. And look at it, 20 years later, it happened. And that's the point. The point is, when God wants something done, he makes a way to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
He will get it done one way or another. And now, I want to emphasize something to you. This is the wisdom of God. I don't know what you're dealing with in your life this week, but I want you to pay attention to something. When God is making changes, and he's making changes in our church right now. For example, you know, if the enemy's plan was to try to shut down the church with all this stuff, and we don't know that. Well, look what's happened. You can't shut down the church. The church belongs to God. It's of God. What's happened is that now we've gone to an online presence like we've never had before. We're increasing online. We're going to be doing things more online, more broadcasting and things like that. So when God wants something done, he knows how to get it done, and no one can better really get in his way to get something done that he wants done. So just be careful if there's something going on in your life that you may be fighting against, resisting against. Talk to God about it. Make sure it's not something that he wants to get done in your life, because you could be fighting against God. Mm-hmm. Now, the people that opposed me and stuff in that previous church, they were, most of them were good people. They weren't evil people or anything like that. But they didn't realize it. But now it's obvious that's what God wanted to do. And so they were actually fighting against what God wanted to happen. So this scripture is worth seeing again and letting you think about the wisdom that's here. Gamaliel's wisdom was this: if this intention or activity is of men, it will come to nothing. Mm-hmm. But if it's from God, you won't be able to overthrow them, lest perhaps you'll be found even fighting against God. Mm-hmm. Gamaliel was a wise man. I don't know if you know this, but in Acts 22, Paul made it very clear that he was Paul's mentor. When Paul was a Pharisee, becoming a Pharisee of Pharisees and all of that, he was being groomed to be part of this Sanhedrin, this same group. And so this man, Gamaliel, who had this wisdom, is the one who mentored Paul before Paul got converted. He was mentoring him as for the Sanhedrin and so forth. And so now let's just get more personal with us. Let me ask you a question. Does God want Grace Tabernacle Church on the property that we're on right now? Apparently he does. No one's been able to move us. Mm-hmm. No one's been able to try to get us to get out of there. He evidently wants Grace Tabernacle Church right there on that property where we are. Okay. Now let me ask you something a little bit more pointed. Do you think God wants Grace Tabernacle Church to have a turning lane right out in front of our church building property? A turning lane, you know, so you don't have to go all the way down to the other side and turn mm-hmm. around. Do you think God wants us to have one? We've prayed about it in church. Mm-hmm. Do you think God wants us to have one? Do you think God wants Grace Tabernacle Church to have golf cart access? Do you think he does? I believe he does. Mm-hmm. I believe he wants us to have a turn lane out there. I believe he wants us to have golf cart access so that we'll be more inviting. We want people to be able to come right on into Grace Tabernacle. We want to be able to share the gospel with them. So I believe he does. But time will reveal, won't it? If something is of God, you're not going to be able to stop it. I don't care who you are, how powerful you are, how much money you have, how much influence you have, or the people you know in government. I don't care what you know or who you know. If God wants something to happen, you're not going to be able to stop it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And in fact, if you try, you could be fighting against God.
Himself. That's right.
Wow. Hope somebody's listening. And it will happen if God wants it to happen. Hopefully it won't take 20 years. But we have prayed that. We believe that. And unless we're wrong, it's going to happen. And we should just believe for that. It's going to happen because we believe God wants it to happen. Mm-hmm. So let's just believe that together in prayer. And we'll do that tonight as well. In fact, if you have been given a prophetic word or prophetic promise, maybe for a loved one or for yourself, and you haven't seen it come to pass yet. Don't give up. Don't give up. If it's of God, it's going to happen. Now, some prophecies are conditional, I understand. But if God gives you a promise, God has given you a word, don't give up. Hold on to it. And let the wisdom of Gamaliel even come into play in this with you. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't care what people say. Sometimes people fight against God with their words. Make sure your words agree with God. Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to pray with you. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight and watching and being with us. We look forward to getting with you again Sunday on the broadcast. Remember, you're going to have a survey sent out to you in the email. So make sure you're on our mailing list. Okay, if you're not, call the church office. Give us your email. You should be getting regular emails from us. You're going to get a survey. We need that survey turned back in of 10 questions. And remember, Sunday now, we start at 10 o'clock from here on out, not 10:30, even though we're broadcasting. And when we start back on the church grounds, we'll start at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. And hopefully in June, we're working on this. We're not sure all the bugs worked out yet, but we hope to have possibly a drive-in service outside early in the morning at 8 a.m., and that's part of the questions of the survey. So we need you to fill that out for us. Well, I get tired of hearing myself talk. I'd really like to hear feedback from you, and that's what I long to enjoy, seeing your faces and hearing your comments, and we look forward to being together again soon. So, but let's just pray, and we'll close out and pray that you have a wonderful rest of the evening together. Lord, I thank you for your wisdom. You spoke this to me. I tried to communicate it as best I could. I pray that it will hit home with people. I pray that the wisdom from your word will go into their minds and their hearts. And Lord, they will realize if something is from God, we are not to oppose it. We're to welcome it. Change things that you want to do. If something is not of God and we're not sure, in a matter of time, it'll fade away. Mm-hmm. So breathe on us, God. Breathe on us your breath. Bring your life into us. Lead us by your Spirit, not to waste time, but to be about the Father's business, to be about things that are going to last for eternity. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the faithfulness of people. Thank you for everyone tuning in here today, tonight, and being with us. All the wonderful people, I pray blessings on every one of them, encouragement and strength and peace. And thank you for their faithfulness, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Amen. God bless you all. So good to see you. Your comments, thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you folks. And we're a phone call away if you need us. So don't hesitate, okay? We love you. I'm going to send you out an email, a personal email tomorrow, so make sure you check your email, okay? God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday, 10 o'clock.